Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We hear a lot about the opiate abuse crisis in this state and beyond, and the knock-on effects are profound. Today, we're going to focus on yet another area where addressing opiate abuse needs to be multifaceted and where the approach might change if a new commission's recommendations are implemented. The Vermont Department for Children and Families says addiction to opiates is one of the root causes of an increase in abuse and neglect cases where DCF needs to get involved. This leads to cases that need to make their way through family court, sometimes over the course of several years. The judiciary says it has a backlog. One approach to dealing with this issue might be to make a separate treatment docket. This would allow for some special funds to be drawn down to help create a more intense program where families that are deemed highest risk and highest need could get more attention from the court, with the aim of not only dealing with the judicial matters at hand, but also trying to address some of the issues at the heart of the family and legal problems. We're going to talk about the concept and the execution of such a plan now with Vermont Supreme Court Justice Karen Carroll, who joins us from Montpelier. Justice Carroll, thank you for joining us on such a busy day for you.
Thanks for having me.
Can you explain more deeply what the idea is here of a family treatment docket?
So I need to explain a little bit about the process as it now stands, which we call the CHINS process, which means children in need of care and supervision. And those are children whose families find themselves in court because there's been an allegation made that the child is, as what is relevant here, abused or neglected. There are certain hearings that are required by statute, and there's no real focus on recovery during those hearings. That doesn't mean – I don't mean to say that it's not ever a focus of the court, but there's no real mandatory assessments and screening of parents and then oversight by the court as to – whether a parent is following a treatment plan if that's deemed necessary. So what the court is presently focusing on really is moving the case through the system, getting to the determination of whether the child is in fact in need of care and supervision, then holding a disposition hearing and deciding what to do about that and putting a case plan in effect then. And it's, that could be 6 months into a case while a child is in custody. And after the disposition is really the first time in the present protocols that the court starts monitoring a parent's progress. So the idea of a treatment docket would be that from the initiation of a CHINS proceeding, we would make sure that parents and children for other reasons, but parents are screened, assessed for opioid addiction or any other kind of problems and drug problems, and referred to another judge who will not be just going through the procedural aspects of the CHINS case, but will be repeatedly bringing these parents back to monitor their progress using treatment court best practices.
So the idea is earlier intervention. You know, that right at the beginning of the initiation of these legal proceedings, the adults, the parents in this case, would be getting screening for drug abuse and opioid abuse, and then have sort of a plan in place for the parents to be following, even as this case is moving through the system?
Exactly. I mean, in a case now, DCF does have the responsibility to file a case plan with the court when a child is taken into custody. And it does have some requirements for parents, but really what they're looking at is, you know, this is what you need to do to get your children back. The court doesn't necessarily at every stage of the proceedings, especially with the large number of cases that we have now, does not, you know, routinely talk to parents about what they're doing and whether they're making progress in treatment. kind of things are put off until the determination of whether the child's in need of care and supervision, and then it starts. So what we're proposing is that we have eligibility requirements for parents who have substance use disorders, that we have screening in place in every case. We target that population. We make sure there's treatment in the community available to them that they can be referred to. And importantly, that there's case management for managing the progress, and then frequent court appearances before a judge to have the judge monitor progress and give feedback to these parents and, you know, congratulate them when they're doing well and encouraging them when they may not be.
So, Justice Carroll, why is this something that should be addressed in the judicial system? Why is this the court's responsibility? I mean, you mentioned that DCF has a plan with parents that are also, so they're involved in this. Why the court system? Why is that even, you know, something that the court should be considering?
So with family treatment dockets, with actually any kind of drug treatment docket, the evidence shows that frequent contact with a judge who is, you know, in essence showing that he or she cares about this person's progress, cares about their success, holds them accountable, that goes really a long way towards success when it comes to overcoming issues such as opioid use disorder. So, you know, everybody's responsible for this. There are a number of organizations, whether they be health organizations, law enforcement, that are part of this process and trying to decide what we can best do. But as a court, as courts, we have an obligation to do what we can too. And as I said, the evidence shows that when a person comes before a judge and does so routinely and is screened early and the court keeps track of that person, that it shows that that actually results in higher reunification rates with children and sooner permanency for children.
So one of the issues here is that there's a backlog of cases, and it takes a long time for these cases to go through. And some of that is, you know, natural. In these CHINS cases, in a lot of examples, it is just going to take a long time for this to play out. But this backlog, how does spending more time, having more intensity, having another judge who's involved help address what's already a problem in moving these cases through the court system?
So it's actually going to help that problem, because what we're recommending is what is called a parallel treatment court model, which means that the superior court judge who's sitting in this family division who hears the juvenile CHINS cases would be able to focus on those cases that are contested. I mean, some cases come in, they're going to be contested from the beginning and everybody knows it. So there has to be a merits hearing to determine whether the petition has been proven.
And can I just stop you when you talk about contested, you mean the parent or parents in this case want their children back? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I think all parents want their children back, but some parents might come into court and admit to the merits. They might say, okay, this petition that the state filed that says I was not properly caring for my children, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. So I stipulate to that. In many cases, parents contest that petition, and they have a right to do that. And the state has to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that the children or child is in need of care and supervision. That's what's taking a lot of time, is holding these contested. When I say contested, it's an evidentiary hearing where witnesses need to be called. The court often has to take the case under advisement, write a, you know, fairly lengthy at times opinion on the case. So what we're proposing is that that is what the now Superior Court judge sitting in that division would focus on. And we've suggested that we use a judicial master who is not a appointed judge by the governor, but is appointed by the judiciary to sit in this parallel court where if a family comes in to the Superior Court and they're willing to go to a treatment docket and participate and they meet the eligibility requirements, we're going to funnel those cases over to a judicial master who'd actually lighten the load for the Superior Court judge to focus on the contested cases. We're also proposing that this judicial master be able to do some uncontested hearings in the realm of what the Superior Court judge is doing. So, for instance, if a motion to modify parent-child contact gets filed and it's contested, we would also lighten the Superior Court judge's load by allowing the judicial master to, you know, one day a week or two step out of his or her role as the treatment docket judge and go help out in the regular chins docket. So I think it's actually helping us with the number of cases we have.
So would you, though, still not, it sounds like, have to hire more judges to be able to address this? I mean, you know, when I've done stories on other treatment courts, it's a really intense process for the judge who's looking at these cases, you know, meeting with people mm-hmm. on maybe a monthly basis, really involved in this, and it just takes up so much time. Would you want to have more judges who are able to be a part of this part of the system?
Well, I think we'd like – we're right now recommending a pilot project. So, you know, we were convinced, and the commission report is evidence of that, that we feel that these treatment dockets can work in the family chin setting. But we still want to pilot it because we want to make sure all the best practices are in place, the evidence is that treatment dockets work for people and have good outcomes if best practices are followed. If not, there can be more harm than good done. So we want to pilot it first, and we could use one judicial master to do that. And what I would envision is, you know, in the future, if we find that this does help parents to reunify with children, which all the science shows, that then we might suggest funding for more judicial masters.
We got a note from Mark who says, what I'm hearing on the show today sounds an awful lot like the state and the judiciary are prioritizing the treatment of opioid addicts with kids, chins, over the treatment of those who may not have young children. Is this true?
So I don't think I understand the question completely, but I can tell you that Vermont now has 5 separate treatment dockets, and 4 of them deal exclusively with adults. So we've got a Chittenden County treatment docket, a drug treatment and mental health docket. We've got a Rutland County adult treatment court docket. We've got a Washington County adult treatment court docket. None of these have to do with CHINS proceedings. And then we've got a regional, Southeast regional DUI treatment docket, which is for repeat DUI offenders. So I would say that we are addressing concerns of non-parents in non-CHINS proceedings as well.
So it doesn't sound like you think this would somehow take away from other types of treatment for people who have legal issues and also an opioid or substance abuse disorder.
I say that this would be in addition to that, and there's not a worry on my part that we'd be taking away from anybody else.
We're talking today again about the potential for a new sort of sector within family court, a family treatment docket that would aim to address abuse and neglect that is caused or has a root cause of addiction to opioids and other substances. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Today, we're joined by Vermont Supreme Court Justice Karen Carroll to talk about the potential for a family treatment docket within family court that would aim to address a couple of things: the backlog in abuse and neglect cases making their way through the system, but also some of the problems at the root of these cases, addiction to opioids and other substances. The family treatment docket would give more time and attention and focus to families with the highest needs within the court system, with the aim of maybe helping them with the issues that have brought the legal system down on them, also with the ultimate aim of family reunification when it's possible. Justice Carroll, can you help us with a legal term here? We keep talking about this family treatment docket. Can you explain what a docket is?
Well, so a lot of states you'll hear use the term family treatment court. And there are different models of family treatment courts. And so in some states, you know, they have one judge who sits only on a family treatment court. In Vermont, a docket is essentially the schedule for a particular division of our superior court on a particular day. And so because you might have a judge who is doing, dealing with divorces and child custody kind of cases, domestic cases on one day, and you might have that judge then doing a treatment, presiding over a treatment model another day, we just refer to it as a docket because that's the schedule for that day.
So, you know, when you talk about the increase or the backlog in cases, and a lot of times we hear DCF point to opioid abuse, and we see in the judiciary that one of the things that is pointed to is opioid abuse, so that this is at the heart of an increase in cases of CHIN, so child in need of care or supervision, these abuse and neglect cases. Why is opioid abuse, do you think, driving these cases and the increase in cases that we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years?
So I just want to say, you know, first, we have other reasons why children are coming into custody. A lot of it has to do with poverty, lack of housing, lack of, you know, ability to just take care of a child due to poverty. So it's not all these cases aren't about opioids, but
for sure. But often it's said that that's the driver of the increase or the driver of the backlog.
Well, I mean, we look at when this opioid kind of epidemic started, and it was, you know, I'm not going to say the exact year it happened, but from 2013 to 2018, which is really kind of the heyday of the opioid problem, our filings went up 68% in the CHINS docket. So, you know, the numbers going up are coinciding with the timing of this epidemic.
Do you see a parallel issue or idea around our changing ideas of when it's appropriate to remove children from their parents? I mean, do you see sort of changing ideas and an ebb and flow in how DCF treats these cases and how we as a society determine when we think it's appropriate for children to be removed?
Right. One of the not recommendations, but one of the things in the commission report that all the commissioners agreed on was that a child should not be taken into custody unless it's absolutely necessary. Now, you're probably aware of the CHINS reform group that was created by the legislature last year, and it appointed four individuals. Superior Chief Superior Court Judge, Ken Schatz, who's the DCF, Commissioner of DCF, the state's attorneys and sheriffs Representative John Campbell, and the Defender General's Office. And they have been charged with looking at the process, evaluating the current process that the courts use, and coming up with solutions. And I know that one of their focuses in that group is to front load families with services prior to a petition ever needing to be filed in court. So that wasn't necessarily the focus of our group. Mm-hmm. Our charge and designation was specifically, let's look at family treatment dockets. Do they work? And do they think they'll work in Vermont? And if so, what form they should take? But this other group, the CHINS Reform Group, is looking at the issue of services being put in place. And that's happening to an extent. DCF does offer services to families before they file petitions, but that there should be more of that and a more intense way of doing that with families to try to resolve issues that don't need to make it into the court system. So that is happening in Vermont, looking at that.
Let's go to Tim, who's calling in from Shelburne. Hi, Tim. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
Good. So I was, I've been serving a community for about 25 years now in Chittenden County, and I happen to be a part of the family treatment court that existed back in the early 90s with Judge Pinellas. And it didn't exist for very long, but what I had seen was it was very helpful. It provided a little extra service and support to these families, parents who were trying to reunify. So I think it would be a great thing to have it come back. These days, I think the workforce is even under more strain and is struggling because they're not able to meet all the needs. I used to think opioids was the biggest problem, but after some time, I think the biggest problem that exists out there is the homeless population. And what I've seen is folks who are either tenting or running from shelters every 7 days or whatnot, or hotels, the desire to want to come off drugs is least likely to happen.
So Tim, thank you. I appreciate your perspective there and for sharing it. And Tim brings up an interesting point here, which is this has actually been in operation before. This is not the first time that Vermont has seen family treatment dockets. So Karen Carroll, did you look back on when this has been tried before to see how it worked and how effective it was?
Yeah, Tim is right that there was a family treatment docket in Chittenden County several years ago. When we accept funding from organizations, whether they be federal or state funding, we have the obligation to have those programs evaluated to determine success and to ensure that best practices are being followed. And there is a report on that, and I did have a chance to read it some time ago, but there just was a concern, not that people were not intending to do the right thing. Clearly, everybody involved in that program was trying to do the right thing, but that there was a concern that policies that were adopted that were supposed to be best practices were not necessarily being followed in every case. And as I began this by saying, there's a problem when those practices are not followed regularly and uniformly, and the docket can do more harm than good for people.
Bonnie's calling in from Pittsford. Bonnie, go right ahead with your thoughts.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I've been involved with a young woman whose children, one of her children, were taken away from her for really not a great reason. But it took almost 3 years before she was allowed to have the child back. And there were a lot of extenuating circumstances, mental health on the child's part, and poverty, extreme poverty on the mother's part. But it just didn't, it just seems like there was probably hundreds of thousands of dollars spent before this mother had her child back, where if they would have put people in the home with her and trained her or helped her become a better mother and helped the son figure out how to talk to the mother, all that money would have been saved. And
yeah.
It's just that I know that it's such a terrible problem because there's been issues where people have tried, they felt to do the right thing, and it has come back to bite them. So I understand there's a concern, about maybe stepping away from the norm, but I'm glad to see that Vermont is going to try something like this, because I really think this would be a tremendous help to the families themselves.
Yeah, Bonnie, thank you for sharing your perspective and your personal experience with this. And Justice Carroll, you know, is part of the aim here that if and when family reunification is appropriate and good for the child, that this family treatment docket will help that move any quicker?
Yeah, that's what all the evidence shows. I mean, there are 495, I think, family treatment dockets in the country as of 2018. And overwhelmingly, it's been found that it improves quicker and higher reunification rates between parents and children. And I can't, you know, really speak to Bonnie's concern because I don't know anything about that case. But I also need to point out that we're talking a lot about parents here, mm-hmm. but the goal in a juvenile proceeding is to do what's in the best interest of the child. That's the focus. So sometimes a child is not returned home because it's not in the child's best interest, even though the parent may be making some strides and having some success in the case plan. But the child is really the focus here.
Well, and to that question, you know, if the family treatment docket is aimed at, in many cases, helping the parents with substance abuse, and in other cases, it is involved in helping children and screening children as well. But if part of it is to help parents get on a treatment plan, could this in some cases lengthen the amount of time that a child is not in a permanent situation, you know, with the possibility, for example, to be adopted out of the system?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a concern because we receive federal funding, and the federal funding comes with some rules. And one of the rules in general, I'm simplifying a little bit, is that if a child has not been reunified with a parent after a year of being in custody, and again, this is very simplified, that TPR proceedings, termination of parental rights proceedings, have to be initiated unless there's some good reason not to do so. So we do want to get children have children be reunified with their parents as quickly as possible, as long as it's safe for the child. But we feel that it, with the treatment dockets, it's likely to become safer quicker. So we're not saying by using a treatment docket that the parents have to be free of all substance abuse issues, that they have to become a perfect parent through the treatment docket. But it makes it easier to know that a parent who's participating, doing what he or she's supposed to be doing, will affect in a positive way their ability to safely parent their child. So a child maybe would go back to a parent. We have a thing called conditional custody, where rather than the child staying in DCF custody, we can place a child back with a parent under conditional custody. And one of the conditions could be that the parent continues to do well in treatment. And so, yes, it might be a longer process, but it also might get the child back into a parent's home quicker.
Robert Sand, the director of the Center for Justice Reform at Vermont Law School, wrote in to say, could you ask Justice Carroll if she's sat in a treatment court as a trial judge and what her experience was like?
Well, Bobby knows I did that because he and I were on the same team. I sat as the first judge when I was a trial judge on the DUI treatment court, which at the time was in Windsor. It has now been regionalized and is accepting cases from Orange and from Windham as well. That is a court that was a treatment docket model for repeat DUI offenders. I have to say that as a judge for almost 17 and a half years, that was the most meaningful work I have ever done. Just meeting every other week on a pretty intimate basis with people, talking about their struggles, learning from them the things they were going through, and really developing an empathy that I have to say I might not have had before I learned about substance abuse on this real deep level. It works. I saw people change their lives and in a positive way, and I'm a big proponent of them.
Let's go to Jennifer, who's calling in from Wallingford. Jennifer, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, hi, Your Honor.
Hi.
I'm a proud Vermont resident, but I'm also a former New York City prosecutor and a former court-appointed lawyer for children in New York, in which capacity I represented nearly 1,000 kids in family court. And about 10 years ago, we were already using these specialized family courts, and they are sensational. One of the things that happens in the treatment courts is that the court can really make sure that parents get the kind of interventions they need, whether it's social work or drug treatment or medication referrals and all those kinds of things that will help motivated parents to get back on track so they can safely care for their kids. We found that a huge percentage of our neglect cases involve parents abuse drugs or alcohol, and simply because of that abuse could not get it together to get their kids to school, to feed them, to clothe them. They weren't necessarily bad people at all, and many were very motivated to do what it took to get their kids back and to get on track. The other thing the courts did was that by being involved, you could pretty quickly figure out which parents were not serious about getting treatment and protect those kids faster.
Jennifer, that's so interesting. I so appreciate hearing your perspective in New York on that, where, you know, where it has worked and your experience in it as an attorney. That's so interesting. Thank you for sharing that. And let's get another thought in here from Larry, who's calling in from Burlington. Larry, hi.
Hi, Jane. Just a couple of comments. As you know, the Vermont Parent Representation Center has been involved with this issue for some time, and I'd like to offer a slightly different perspective, and that is that the treatment courts may be a great idea, but the current system is one that could be reformed very easily, the current CHIN system. And we have seen study after study, most recently a study out of New York City that involved 10,000 families over a four-year period, which showed that if you apply a system whereby the attorneys who represent children are not contract people, they are attorneys who that is their primary job. And the attorneys who represent parents, it is their primary job, not contract employees, but actually employees who are salaried to do that work. That what happens is that cases, CHIN's cases particularly, moved dramatically faster through the court system because there's stability. There are people who know what the cases are about and follow the case from beginning to end. And what happens is that in what New York City has shown, which is the same thing Washington State showed, is that when that system is applied, what happens is that fewer children go into care on the front end. Those children who do go into care are there for much shorter periods. And children are adopted out. Those children who can't go back home are adopted much faster.
So, Larry, let me put that then to Justice Carroll. You know, this is one approach, but, you know, Larry's saying maybe this is not the best approach to dealing with this same issue.
So I just want to be clear. Our commission task was to look at family treatment dockets and whether they could help reunify parents and children. So we weren't looking at all these other issues that Larry brought up. But I will say there has been recent passage of a federal statute called the Family First statute. And part of that is allowing states who choose to use it funding to provide attorneys for parents to work with them prior to DCF filing a petition to keep them out of court if they could work with an attorney prior to the petition even being filed. And that's something that Vermont is looking at, whether to accept that kind of funding.
Karen Carroll is a justice with the Vermont Supreme Court. She served on the Vermont Judicial Commission on family treatment dockets. Justice Carroll, I really appreciate that you helped us understand what this is and talked about the potential for the pilot in Chittenden County. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.